Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
On Saturday, the former two-time super middleweight world champion Anthony the Dog Durrell returns and will face off against the rising Tyron Shut It Down Davis. Don't miss the action Saturday on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
If you got 30 minutes, SimplySafeColin.com. Customize and get a free security camera, SimplySafeColin.com. So, Pro Football Focus senior analyst Bruce Gradkowski, this is what he does. He looks at tape. He looks at numbers. And it's been interesting, you know, you get into this off season with quarterbacks and teams have to make decisions, and Bruce is now joining us live. So I want to talk about Big Ben for a while. Their GM came out last week and gave a very lukewarm response to Ben. And as you know, as quarterbacks get older, Drew Brees struggled later in a year. There's a big difference. Ben was pretty effective early. As the season went on, that body doesn't react the same way, and he had an ugly last five games. What do the numbers say on what Big Ben is today?
Well, I mean, you're right, Colin, and there's a reason Ben led the league with the most pass attempts out of the shotgun, 640. Most pass attempts under 10 yards. You know, there's a reason this offense was 26th in pass play explosive pass play percentage for us at PFF. So this offense needs a remake. So whether Ben's back or not, this offense needs some shaking up. It needs some shifts. It needs some motion. It needs some play action pass. They're one of the last in the league with the most play action pass. And Ben was probably one of the worst quarterbacks in that area. So there is room to develop for this offense. Now, when it comes to Ben and the Steelers, look, what he has done in Pittsburgh has been remarkable. The backyard type football player he is, just give him a ball and let him play. I've never been around a guy like that. I mean, the closest probably Jeff Garcia, definitely not on Ben's level, but just a guy that has a knack to play football and make plays. We'll see what happens. You know the Rooneys, you know that Steelers organization. They let guys play a little longer than maybe, you know, Hines Ward, Troy Polamalu, Jerome Bettis. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, but man, that offense definitely has to develop more explosive plays next season.
You know, Derek Carr, apparently stories now, the Colts' Chris Ballard called the Raiders. They said no thanks. I understand when people look at Carr. He's not dynamic physically. His arm is good, not special. He's mobile, but not a great athlete. But what does he do well and what does he not do well? When you look at the PFF grades, where do you put him in this league?
Well, I mean, he's a top 10 grader for us at PFF. In this past season, he more than doubled his big-time throws. And a lot of people would give Carr a hard time for getting to the check down too quick.
Yeah.
Not this season, man. He ripped the Chiefs apart. I mean, realistically, it was really the only Chiefs' main loss during the regular season besides that Week 17 matchup Mahomes didn't play. So you look at this offense and what they're able to do. If they can now surround Carr with a good defense, I love the hire of Gus Bradley. So we'll see. But I think Carr's a top 10 guy, and he played that way last year. He just has to make a few more plays like that with his legs, and that'll keep John Gruden a little excited and get him happy. But Carr, with his arm and his physical tools, he can get it done.
Sam Darnold, how much is the staff? How much is Sam? What does PFF, what does he do you like? And what does Sam Darnold do that would concern you if you're out to get a quarterback and you're interested in Sam Darnold?
Well, look, they had the second lowest graded receiving unit in New York last year with the Jets. The defense, second lowest coverage unit in the past seven decades. You know, so it's been pretty bad as a football team. But, you know, Darnold also hasn't helped much, right? I mean, I love the guy as far as his toughness. He's a good teammate, a great person. He's going to work hard. But in a clean pocket, Colin, that's when you got to execute. If you're clean and you have time, you have to make the plays, and that's where he has struggled. Look, his overall passing grade, man, the only one worse than him the past 3 years is Mitchell Trubisky. So there is room for improvement. I do think he can improve because I like his physical tools. I like he can make plays on the run. But in that clean pocket, when things are right around him, he has to be better. And that's one of my main concerns with Sam Darnold.
Carson Wentz, are his flaws correctable? He lost. His accuracy was at times abysmal last year. Again, of his issues, what does PFF think are correctable? And or there's some trends over 3 or 4 years that he's not simply good at certain aspects of quarterback play.
Well, Colin, you know us quarterbacks, you and I talked offline, we're high maintenance. We need some TLC.
Yes.
So I think that's what Carson Wentz needs right now. I think it's perfect him going back to Frank Wright. But where he was phenomenal in 2017 was on third and fourth down. I mean, his grade for us was 91.9 or something. And every other year, he never reached above a 75 PFF grade on third and fourth down. So team him back up with Frank Wright. The situational football, can he play better? He's not going to get back to that level because it's hard. Those critical situations, those aren't stable metrics for us. But I think Carson Wentz, man, if you give him a little TLC, if you build that confidence, coach him hard, he has to, you know, sometimes these young quarterbacks, Colin, they try to see too much. And now when you get in a little slump, now you're missing throws, now your confidence is down. This is great for him, just a fresh start. He needs it. But I don't expect to see him back in 2017 form, but I do expect him to play a lot better, and especially under Frank Wright. I think Wright does an unbelievable job with quarterbacks and also just was as a team leader, and what he's done in Indy so far has been fun to watch.
Listen, we all know Brady's great. When it was all said and done, and, you know, when you just looked at what Brady did, did his grades end up being, you know, he was struggling on the deep ball for a while, but it was all said and done. Was Tom on historic highs, or where was Brady when it was all over?
Man, you know, Colin, I'm glad you're doing well too. I saw what happened around the Super Bowl time. So if you need me to take your place skiing, just let me know. I'll take that plane ticket out of Toledo, Ohio, man. I'd be happy to do that. But Tom Brady, you know, he led us with most big time throws throughout the playoffs. I think that football team, after the bye week, they really figured out who they were. That play action pass, getting Brady back under center, the guy really did play phenomenal. He was nailing it 20-plus yards downfield. He was playing efficient. And physically, to me, just watching the tape, he looks good physically. I mean, he showed no signs of slowing down, and we're waiting for that moment. But, man, that Tampa Sun, you know, you're in the L.A., you're spoiled. You got that I got that warm blood over here in Toledo. That son did him justice, and you could tell physically he still looks good, and I'm happy for him. What a story, man, because more than the X's and O's, I think it's what he brings in that locker room and how guys see him prepare. It's just amazing to watch his career and that he did it again.
Yeah, Bruce Gradkowski, a Pro Football Focus senior analyst. Always great to have you on the show, and we appreciate the data, my man.
Yeah, thanks, brother. Have a good week.
Yeah. All right, Justin Turner of the Dodgers scheduled to be on spring training. Does spring training start today, start this week? So pitchers and catchers reported the past week. What if every sport did that? All right, guards and bigs report today, forwards next week. It's just the way baseball works. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
The Patriots haven't made a decision on whether they will bring back Cam Newton for a second season, but if they do decide to move on, Cam will look for another opportunity and says he has no plans to retire.
My pride won't even allow me to do that. Listen, bro, there's not 32 guys better than me. Put it like that. So if you're asking
where you
me,
at?
Like,
where you at?
I'm not 32.
Well, he is right. Of the 35 qualified quarterbacks this season, the bottom 15, according to Pro Football Focus.
The bottom 15.
Bottom 15. Jared Goff is 21. Cam Newton is 22. Below him is Andy Dalton, Ben Roethlisberger, Gardner Minshew, Nick Foles, Alex Smith, Teddy Bridgewater, Tua, Carson Wentz at 30, Drew Locke, Mitchell Trubisky, Sam Darnold, Nick Mullins, and Dwayne Haskins is at 35. So he's not even close to the bottom.
They were 11-0 at one point, and Big Ben's in that group.
So when Big Ben is through two slots below him.
Below Cam?
Yeah. according to Pro Football Focus.
Well, I mean, Cam still moves. Cam still in the RPO stuff, still elite.
I mean, he still 65.8 completion percentage, 2,657 yards.
So Cam completed 65% of his throws. I'm actually shocked by that.
66.
Who did he throw to?
No one. He had 8 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and had 592 rushing yards and 12 rushing touchdowns. So, yes, he can still move.
I am surprised by that. He completed 66% of his throws. I mean, literally, they don't have a functional tight end. That's a good number.
He also talked about how COVID really affected him, missing those games and being out with COVID in the middle of the season.
So, Lamar,
I think that he will. I actually think that it makes the most sense for the Patriots to bring back Cam Newton now that I think about the situation that the Patriots are in.
Second year.
He may do better in his second year in the system. Yeah. Since they have the 15th pick, I actually wouldn't hate if they used it on a quarterback and had the young quarterback come in with Cam Newton there. Cam Newton's not expensive.
By the way, they're not going to pay Cam anything. They have a ton of salary cap. They may move Stephon Gilmore. The reality is, I know they're frugal, but just on the draft opt-ins, Cam's second year, and a little cap space, they went 7-9.
I act like they didn't win a game this season.
It's not impossible to believe that they're, I mean, just, is it 10-6?
Yeah, well, I don't think they're a playoff team, and I don't think they'll win the division. But, yeah, that's reasonable. I mean, we're not looking at the whole picture when we talk about Cam Newton. Like, there were 8 opt-outs, some very significant this season. He got COVID in the middle of the season, which clearly affected him. They don't have a lot of weapons. They're going to have to make some moves this offseason. And I think moving – I think when we think of the Patriots, we just think of them as such a stable dynasty franchise, as we should from the past 2 decades. But they're not in that situation anymore. So what do you do? Do you make an aggressive move for a quarterback that's on the market? Like, Sam Darnold's not going to the Patriots. Like, he's the best option that we think is available at this point. And then I don't think they're going to get Deshaun Watson. I actually think bringing Cam back for another year and second year in the system, you get the 8 opt-ins back, make some moves this offseason, and maybe you do draft the quarterback of the future and he doesn't have to start right now. You can learn a little bit. Yeah. So the Bucs have their work cut out for them in free agency if they want to keep their Super Bowl team together. They have 8 notable free agents this year and have made it clear they want to keep as many as possible. Bruce Arians said they're hoping to sign 5 or 6 of these guys in order to keep the closeness and accountability they have in the locker room. We're showing them now Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, Leonard Fournette, Lavonte David, Shaq Barrett, and Ndamukong Suh, and Ryan Succop are all free agents.
Okay, so Lavonte David and Shaq Barrett, I'm just paying whatever I have to. Everybody else is negotiable. I can move off everybody else.
Well, Gronk and Antonio Brown likely aren't going to play anywhere else, so they'll probably take whatever deal. If they want to come back another year, they'll probably take whatever deal the Bucs offer them. There's not going to be a big market for Antonio Brown, even though he did keep it together this season.
Yeah,
most teams are going to assume that that's because of Tom Brady,
right?
And there's only one Tom Brady. I don't think Gronk wants to play anywhere else. If he does want to keep playing, it's not like he needs the money at all. So if he does want to come back another year, I imagine he's going to be on a reasonable deal as well. I agree. Lavonte David and Shaq Barrett. I mean, Ndamukong Suh is significant as well. My guess is that Chris Godwin and Leonard Fournette are not there next year.
That makes sense to me. I'm not giving up Shaq Barrett. There's no way. Pass rushers are gold bars. He's the one. Lavonte David and Barrett, to me, you could get another linebacker, but Barrett is so effective getting to the quarterback. There's about 8 guys in the league. They were just born to be pass rushers, and he's one of them.
I think that we've learned that Tom Brady can make it work with a lot, but when we talk about that Super Bowl, we're going to give Tom Brady a lot of credit. They won because of that defense.
Yeah,
if I'm the Buccaneers, I'm concerned. My number one priority is keeping as much of that defense together as possible. I mean, Patrick Mahomes didn't throw a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. Keep that defense intact. Tom Brady can figure things out on the other side of the ball. So the Lakers have lost 3 of their last 4 games since Anthony Davis suffered a calf strain. In their loss to the Heat this weekend, LeBron scored 19 points on 7 of 21 shooting, which is his worst shooting percentage of the season. And they're struggling to get out of this slump. And LeBron says he knows it's on him to step up without AD.
Well, I think that's what it all boils down to. And, right now is another challenge for me to be able to adjust. You know, not having AD for a long period of time is something that we haven't had. over the last year and a half, and now it's time for me to adjust again and see ways I can be even more effective to help this team win ball games, because that is the sport that we're in. We're in the winning business, and I've always been a winner, so it's time to click into that.
Now, once again, LeBron puts the entire world on his shoulders.
I don't mind putting this on LeBron.
No, they're just not shooting well. They're just not. It's not a. Remember last year, our big concern was they don't have enough shooters, and they kind of won the finals on health and defense.
They were 1 of 13 from 3-point range in the fourth quarter, at 13 of 45 attempts.
But Schroeder didn't play either, so that.
Yeah, I actually think that we're not giving enough credit to Schroeder in the situation. Like, obviously Anthony Davis is significant, and he's a superstar. You want him out there, but Schroeder missed the last two games due to COVID protocol. He'll miss the next two. So it's not that he's unhealthy, but he's out for COVID protocol. But he's averaging 14.2 points, 3.6 rebounds, and 4.3 assists per game as well. So, you know, missing Schroeder and Anthony Davis is significant. You got to shoot better, obviously, but this can't all be on LeBron James. Like, if LeBron James isn't shooting well, I'm going to give him a pass in this situation because he's having to do everything with Anthony Davis and Schroeder being out. But I don't think that home court advantage matters that much in the playoffs, so I think it's a priority for the Lakers to get Anthony Davis 100% healthy. And I gotta be honest, I don't know if anyone's really surprised that this is what they're dealing with Anthony Davis in this situation. Like, it was the bubble wasn't that long ago. Every team that went deep in the bubble is struggling with injuries this season. It's not terribly surprising that Anthony Davis would not be completely healthy at this point.
If I wanted to go to a Laker game right now, I wouldn't be allowed in, would I?
You may be able to, but I wouldn't tell anyone that you're there. No, you got it. There's
no fans.
This is in California. Yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous. What if I went with a notebook and I said I was working?
Oh, you were
working media.
Go as a working reporter?
I'd bring a pen. Like, if I said I was a working reporter.
I think you'd have to get credentialed and go through the protocols. But I don't know how many people they're actually allowing in there to cover the game as well. But yeah. No,
so America's media honesty broker could not go to a Laker game.
I don't feel like I have the authority to answer that question completely, but based off of the information that I currently have, my guess would be no.
Our legislators need to lighten up. I'm America's honesty broker. If I'm not covering the Lakers, who's giving you the scoop?
You are not. You've never covered the Lakers. You've gone to a Lakers game with a notepad and gone into at any point in your career.
I don't need a notepad. It's called space, my parking garage above
have
my iPhone.
Have you ever been in a, like, have you had to go into an NBA locker room and ask questions before?
Oh, no. Last time I was in a Lakers locker room, one of the players told me he hated me.
Are you going to tell us who?
Dwight Howard. And I said, he said it smiling. I said, put on a towel and you don't hate me. The late Kobe was always great to me. Actually, everybody's
been
great.
Were you in the locker room? You were reporting? You were legitimately asking questions? I had to.
Yeah, I had to pretend. You know, I get my I would say I go into locker rooms infrequently now, but I do communicate with guys through their agents or through them.
I don't think you actually need to be in the locker room.
The locker rooms are awful.
I've never wanted to be.
They're just awful.
That type of reporter.
By the way, these days in shoot around, if I go, what I always do, I always go early to games. So I'll get there an hour and a half early, and when they come out, like, a player would come over and say, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, but Colin, you're misrepresenting your presence at this game. You're, like, sitting courtside or in great seats hanging out early. You're not, like, going to shoot around like a beat reporter. You don't have your credential on. You're there as a citizen.
You know what my credential is? My face. So obnoxious. I am so obnoxious. All right. Oh, I just miss going. I would like to go to a game.
No, I hear you. I want to go to a Dodgers game too. Dodgers game's the best.
God, you know, that stadium, they do the food and drink right too.
So romantic.
Got
I
it.
Miss the garlic fries and not being able to talk to anybody
God.
For a week after eating them.
Oh, they're so they figured the food stuff out. That place has good food. You could eat dinner at that baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Justin Turner's around the corner.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
When weather's bad, you need good wipers. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades, designed to last two times longer than other blades. Justin Turner, if you'd never seen him play baseball, you could describe him by just saying he's the juice of the Dodgers. For all their talent and all their arms and all their history, he is their energy. He is their juice. And there was a moment this offseason, people thought he may go, and then they smarted up and gave him a big fat contract. And Justin Turner of the Dodgers, the World Series champ, is now joining us now live. By the way, I have facial hair for the first time in my life, and you are nothing but facial hair, and it looks great on you. It looks like hell on me. So is it your superpower?
Well, you know what? I'd say it looks pretty good on you. I like that look, Colin. I've seen you, and it's the first time I've ever seen you with a stash. The stash is a little more prominent than everything else, but yeah. It is good, and it is my superpower, I guess you can say. I always shorten it up right before spring training and then kind of let it go and have a mind of its own throughout the season. And usually it gets nice and big and full just in time for October.
Listen, you are in the hit. I grew up watching the Dodgers in the 70s. You lead them in playoff home runs, hits, runs, games. And it's interesting when there was talk about, because this is a pretty big, there's a lot of guys getting paid here. Was there a moment where you thought, oh, hell, I'm not coming back? Were you ever concerned?
Yeah, there was a couple moments where I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And obviously, you know, the process was good for me. It all worked out in the end. But it felt like this was the shortest, longest offseason I've ever had in my life. So it took a while to get there. A couple things happened where it put some serious question marks in my mind as to whether or not I was going to be back in Dodger Blue, but like I said, it all worked out in the end. I'm happy to be here, and this is where I'm supposed to be.
Listen, it's a mostly young team. You got your Seegers, your Walker Buehlers, Cody Bellinger. It's a young team. You've been in this league, this sport, for 12 years now at the big league level. Do you consider yourself a leader? Do you ever sense that, or do you need to be? Do you want to be? How do you feel about that?
I take a lot of pride in being a guy that my teammates can come to and talk to and have conversations with, or if stuff's going a little sideways, to be able to step in and have some talks with guys. But, you know, here with the Dodgers, it's such a great culture. It's such a great atmosphere to be in. We really take pride in letting guys be themselves and being who they are and not trying to change them. So the analogy I always use is I try to be like the bumpers on a bowling lane, right? We want guys to keep moving forward down the lane. And if they start going towards the gutter, you know, I try to be that bumper. I try to be that bumper that helps them, you know, find at least one pin.
Thank God most Dodgers don't end up in the gutter. Justin Turner's joining us. You are a rare player, and this is really rare. You hit better in the postseason than the regular season. Now, it's close, but that is rare. You're facing better pitchers. There's more pressure. There's more situational pitching, pitching changes. But you come across as incredibly loose as a player. You're just playing. And I've seen guys who are great. A-Rod, and he was a different batter in the postseason. How do you keep the mindset in these pressure situations? How do you stay loose at the plate?
Yeah, I think I was extremely fortunate to spend a lot of time with Dr. Ken Revisa. He was a sports psychologist at Cal State Fullerton in the 4 years I was there, and really spent a lot of time with him working on the mental side of baseball. And I think it really is a big part of our game. Everyone has talent. Everyone can go out there and really play. But being able to control what's in between your ears, I think, is what sets guys apart. And, you know, when you get in those moments in the postseason and I guess not so much last year, but in years past, when the crowd's going crazy and there's a lot of energy and it's a big spot, it's so easy for your heart rate to start pounding. You feel sure. Like your heart's going to beat out of your chest, and being able to have the tools to slow yourself down and control your breathing, to relax your eyes and be able to make good decisions at the plate, I think is crucial.
By the way, I was just seeing this. I'm going to play a trivia game with you. Here we go. You're going to think I'm a jerk for doing this, but I thought it was funny. First of all, which pitcher do you have the most career home runs against? He's pretty good.
Oh, most career home runs against. I don't know.
He's got good stuff. He's a little temperamental.
Bumgarner?
Boom!
Maybe? I don't know.
Boom!
Yeah.
Okay, now here's the bad one. Who have you faced the most and never gotten a hit off of? And he's pretty good, too. He's a Hall of Famer.
The most and never got a hit off of?
11 at-bats.
Cliff Lee?
Oh, Cliff Lee, the old left-hander. No. Justin Verlander?
Oh man, yeah. I haven't sniffed a hit off that guy.
Well, you sniffed a hit. You sniff a hit off everybody. So this Dodger team, they go out and get Trevor Bauer, Mookie Betts. It's just insane. Now you're World Series champs, Justin. Do you sense a little bit of, okay, you've seen teams win the World Series. Now the pressure's on and teams play differently. Are you at all concerned that you guys are now a overwhelming National League favorite? Can you sense that?
I think it's pretty similar to every year we come in here for spring training. I think our front office does such a great job of accumulating talent and putting a group in the room that we think has a chance to win a World Series every single year. So this year's no different. Obviously, a lot of great players added some very nice pieces to the roster, and we're looking forward to making another deep run and bring another championship to LA. So I don't think it's that different from any other year.
How long did it take for you to play with Mookie Betts and go, oh my God, he's good? I mean, how many games? Was there like an epiphany? Was there a moment where you're, because I think he's such a 1970s, 80s player. He's just he's just an athlete who does everything well. When, as a great player yourself, was there a moment you're like, okay, we're different with him?
Well, it didn't take long to figure out what he was all about, but I mean, I played against Mookie for a few years now, so I always knew how great of a player he was, but getting to see him, you know, in our clubhouse, and I think it was a big story last year. On day one, he got in front of the team and basically challenged us to practice better and be better in our workouts and be better in our drills and, you know, kind of set the tone that, hey, we're not going to show up and take things for granted. We're going to work hard. We're going to be accountable when we make mistakes. And he put together a little program where anytime you made an error, you had to put $20 in the pot. So it put a little pressure on guys to practice better. And from day one, you kind of got the sense of what he was all about. And then obviously, you know, you just watch him on a daily basis, and the way he can change a baseball game is incredible, whether that's in the outfield or making incredible throws or on the bases. The guy, I don't know if this is a stat or not, but I don't think I've ever played with a guy who's better being on third base with the infield in and getting jumps on ground balls and scoring runs. I mean, routine ground ball to a second baseman, first baseman, he's beating it. It happened in the World Series. So actually it tied up the game, the deciding game of the World Series. So he just is on a whole nother level on ways he can help us win ball games.
What a pleasure to have you on. We're going to go. I keep telling Joy, Dodger Stadium is such a throwback. It's you never eat the food there, but the food and the drink, it ain't cheap, but it's so good. It's such a great stadium to play in. I want to get fans back in the stadium because it's such a wonderful, it's a throwback classic stadium, and it must be amazing to play there. And Justin, you're a credit to the sport. I'd love to have you on again. It's a long season, and when you get a break and you ever want to promote anything, come on our show again, buddy.
Hey, anytime you want me on, I'm a big fan. I listen all the time. So anytime you want me on, I'm here.
All right, Justin Turner, World Series champ. It's amazing. He leads the Dodgers. Think about how great the Dodgers have been for years. He leads them. First of all, they've won the National League West every year he's been there. He was their leading hitter last year, 307. The Dodgers franchise playoff records in home runs, hits, runs, RBIs, and games. They've had Garvey and Ron Say and Bill Russell and Dave Lopes. And, well, I mean, they've had a million all-stars. He's playing with, like, multiple. He is a great baseball player. And like the rest of America, loves our show. Go to mdriveformen.com today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Joy, it was great to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
It is great to be back. Be nice if our state would lighten up a little. Sheesh Louise. It's great to have you back.